Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, there were two brothers named Richard and Andrew Mellon. You may know the last name because they were two men of incredible wealth, and a lot of their wealth they used to found what is now known as Carnegie Mellon University. So that may be of how you've heard of the Mellon brothers. But they were very smart, very educated, again, very rich, but also apparently very playful, because these two brothers had a running game of tag. You know what tag is? You know tag, you're it? They had a running game of tag for 70 years. For seven decades, from the time they were little boys until they were old men, they had a running game of tag. It ended when Richard Mellon was on his deathbed. They knew that he was dying, and his family was gathered around. His brother was there. They had been having some good conversation. And then his brother, Richard, motioned for Andrew to come over, and he said, "Come closer." And Andrew leaned down, and Richard said, "You're it." And then he died. And Andrew was it for the rest of his life. Well, we're looking, as we look at this series on how to be disciples who are making disciples, we're looking at one of the last words of Jesus. It's the last words that Matthew recorded from Jesus. And last words are really important. And these are more important than "you're it." But in a sense, Jesus is saying, "You're it." Well, we're in this series talking about how to be a disciple who is making disciples. And in the first few weeks of the series, we're focusing on the first part of that sentence, how to be a disciple, how to be a learner. We looked at some different words for disciple last week, a follower, an apprentice. And we said last week that what part of what it means to be a disciple is that it is more about progress than it is about perfection. And Jesus is the one who is and will fully make us perfect. In this life, for us as followers of Jesus, it's about making progress. More about progress than perfection. And from conversations I've had this week, those were words that really resonated with many of you, and I am very thankful for that. I hope that today's words will resonate as well, as we today look at discipleship and say that discipleship is more about obedience than it is about options. And if you want to follow along in your outline, please do that. It's more about obedience than it is about options. But we really love options, right? We really love options. I like to keep all my options open. That creates a problem when I communicate. It happened this week with the staff. It happens in my marriage. I like to keep my options open, and so I'm not as clear as I need to be sometimes about what I'm thinking or what I'm saying. And I think we're all like that in different kinds of ways. We like to keep our options open, and we have been discipled by the world that we live in to pursue our options, almost that we have the right to have all of our options open to us. It's almost impossible to live in America and not be discipled to be a consumer, to have a consumer mentality. And so it is too easy sometimes for us to think about following Jesus like going through the line at Luby's. Don't you miss Luby's, by the way? We kind of think about following Jesus like going through the line at Luby's, and I have lots of options and I get to choose what I want, and I want this meat and I want those two vegetables, and you know what, today I think I want pie. And so we lack options, and that's how we are kind of trained and discipled in America to be followers of Jesus, is to treat it like the buffet line at Luby's. You know, another way that we're kind of discipled and trained to think about options is that when I was a kid, we had three TV channels on our television, and you had to get up to go change them, by the way. But we had three TV channels, and we had one TV guide. And the TV guide told us what time the shows were going to be on and on what station. And those were your only options. You didn't get to watch the show when you wanted to. Once it was shown, unless it was in reruns in the summer, you never got to see it again. Now, I'm not saying that was better than it is now. That's not my point. My point is just that as we have, in America, we have been discipled to expect options. And so now we have more options than we can even deal with and fathom with. And we have multiple places we can stream and we watch it on demand and we rewind it. And when Paula wants to talk to me in the middle of my show, I can push pause and all those good things. We have options. And that's the way that we have been discipled. And that's the way that we too often think about following Jesus. But the reality is options are not all they're cracked up to be. You know that, right? Options are not all that they are cracked up to be. Sometimes options can be overwhelming. One of my professors in college had just come back from Africa as a missionary. And his name was Galen Van Reenen, and he and his family had been in Kenya. And he shared with us that sometimes the culture shock of coming back to America is really a bigger deal and harder to deal with than the culture shock of leaving America and going to another culture. And he told us one day when that really hit him. He had been going through some culture shock as he came back home, but the day it hit him was the day that he was in the grocery store and he was standing in the cereal aisle. And the incredible number of options that he had to choose from in the cereal aisle literally overwhelmed him. We have some former missionaries who are shaking their heads. Did y'all have a problem in the cereal aisle too? The number of cereal boxes overwhelmed him to the point that he broke down and he began to cry in the grocery store. Just he was so overwhelmed by the number of options that he had. And so we also experience that with all the options we have in things to watch. We have all these different screens to watch on and all these different things to stream. And so we should be able to find something to watch, right? But how many of you like me will sit in your chair and spend 30 minutes looking for something to watch and then you just turn it off because you say, I can't find anything I want to watch. See, options are not always all that they are cracked up to be. But we've been discipled to expect options, to think that we have a right to options. We have been discipled to think that we are the authority. But the reality is that in the kingdom of God, there's only one authority. In this kingdom, there's only one king, and his name is not Ken. And it's not you. His name is Jesus. And he is our authority. And so as we look at Matthew chapter 28, I want us to notice a few things about his authority. The first thing is that his authority is absolute. His authority is absolute. The first part of the verse that we're looking at says, all authority. Would you circle the word all? All authority is what it says. And do you know what all means? All means all. It does. All. His authority is total. His authority is complete. His authority is unlimited. It is unqualified. It is ultimate. He is the authority. And really in life, as much as we're looking for options, we also are looking for some authority. I was on the phone this week because I was double charged for something for the last 3 months. And so I got on the phone and I called the company that I needed to deal with. And a young lady was very, very helpful, and she figured out what the problem was, and she said, well, I can refund you for the last month, but not the other 2 months. And I said, well, I'd like to be refunded for all 3 months. And she said, well, in order to do that, you will have to talk to my supervisor. I said, I'd be glad to talk to your supervisor. And so in a few more minutes, the supervisor came on the phone and we went through the whole thing again. And she said, I can take off the first month's charge or that last month's charge, but I can't take off the other two. And I said, well, I would like to be refunded for all 3 months. And she said, oh, well, in order to do that, you will have to talk to my... And you know how that story went. Now, I'm determined, and I waited long enough, I finally did get to the supervisor who had the authority to take off all 3 months. There are times in our life when we are looking for authority. because we want something to get done and we want to know how to get it done. And in the kingdom of God, there is no supervisor beyond Jesus. He is the absolute authority, and his authority is absolute. And when Jesus speaks a word about any subject, his word is the last word. So his authority is absolute. His authority is also universal. The verse says, all authority, where? In heaven and on earth. Is there any other places that are not included in that phrase? His authority is universal. He has all authority in all of heaven and in on all of earth. So there's not any place in heaven or on earth that the authority of Jesus doesn't apply. There is no national boundary in which Jesus' authority is honored. And outside that national boundary, his authority is not honored. His authority crosses all boundaries. His authority is not limited by time or by space. The James Webb Telescope, I don't know if you pay attention to these kind of things, but the James Webb Telescope got sent out into the universe back at the end of last year. And last month, we began to see some of the first pictures, and they're pretty incredible. And the promotion around the telescope said that it is so powerful that it will see back into the beginnings of the universe. And I am not qualified to know anything about what that actually means or if that is actually possible. But I do know this, that as it peers back into the beginnings of the universe, whatever it sees and whatever it discovers will be under the universal and absolute authority of the one who created it. His name is Jesus. Amen. His authority is absolute and it is universal. And his authority is exclusive. All authority in heaven and on earth, Jesus says, has been given to me, to Jesus. It's exclusive. He didn't win the authority in some political contest. He wasn't, Danica, this is for you. He wasn't the last person alive on the island. He was given that authority by the Father. Moses doesn't get it. Muhammad doesn't get it. The President of the United States doesn't get it. You and I don't get it. All authority in heaven and on earth was given to Jesus. He's the King. That's what his name means. Jesus Christ isn't a first and last name. Jesus Christ is Jesus the King. And he has a kingdom. And so that's why discipleship is about obedience to the King, not options for you and me. And as I approach Jesus looking for options, then I am not a disciple. There's a lot of other words I might be, but I'm not a disciple if that's my approach to Jesus. And again, another example, just to keep making this point, because this just, we don't realize how much this is in us. I don't go to Starbucks much, but I know that if you go to Starbucks, that you can order exactly what you want. And I don't go there because I don't understand what I'm ordering, but you could order I don't even know. I mean, it's, you know, but I don't know. You know, it can have a frappe and a latte and it can be hot and it can be cold and it can have a splash of this and a squirt of that. I know that's not the right language. See, but the point is when you go, you get to order what you want and they write it down because they're going to make it exactly like you want it because you're the authority over your coffee. And then when they give you your cup, it's going to have a little smiley face on it because they want to make the authority happy. And that's the way we've been discipled to think by the world. But that's not what disciples of Jesus look like, and it's not how they operate. We think that's the way life is supposed to work. But that's not how life works in the kingdom of God. It's not how life works for disciples of Jesus. We absolutely cannot and we absolutely must not approach Christ and the church as consumers. Because Jesus is the King. And His authority is absolute. And it's universal. And it's exclusive. And when you were baptized, you were baptized into the King. And you were baptized, He added you to His kingdom. And you were making a pledge of allegiance of a sort to honor and to obey Him. Because He is the King. And we are the disciples. And you are not your own. You were bought with a price. The price of His body. And the price of His blood. And disciples in the Bible use the language when they are talking about themselves of servant and slave of Christ Jesus. Now, to tell the full story, we also are told that we are sons and daughters, that we're co-heirs. And so that is a reality for us because of the goodness and the graciousness of God. But the disciples that wrote, they don't talk about themselves that way. They talk about themselves as servants and as slaves. And there really is a sense we need to celebrate and fully embrace the fact that we are sons and daughters. But we also need a good dose of our place in life and remember that we're servants and we're slaves of Jesus. And somehow in the kingdom, that all goes hand in hand. We need the attitude of David, who said, "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to live in a palace." We need the attitude of Jesus Himself. Though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave. He was born a human being. And when He appeared in human form, He humbled Himself in obedience to God. And He died a criminal's death on a cross. And I can't help but notice that it was because of His obedience to a cross that, as the verses go on to tell us, He was exalted and He was honored. The exaltation and the honor came because of the obedience. And if He's the one we're following, then that's the path we're going to have to follow as well. To be obedient, even unto death. As it goes on to say, God elevated Him to the place of highest honor and gave Him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth. Why? Because that's where He has authority. And under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And you see, life works best when we're obedient. Life really works better for us in obedience than it does for options. Life doesn't always work well when we try to exercise our options. The chaos and the disorder that hurt our lives is often the result of us or someone else trying to exercise their options. Life works better when we practice obedience. Now, I grew up in a great time to be a fan of America's team. My son Brent did not. And I've never met anybody who's a greater fan of the Dallas Cowboys than Brent is. And bless his heart, he has rarely ever even seen a winning season, much less a championship. But he loves them. But I grew up in a great time to be a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. Brent hasn't even hardly seen a winning season. I grew up when there were 20 consecutive winning seasons. And you know why that was the case? Because there was an authority on the team, and his name was Tom Landry. Now, Tom Landry was the authority on that team, and he had a system in place, and that system produced winning results. But a lot of people had a hard time playing for Tom Landry. A lot of people didn't want to play for Tom Landry because they didn't like his system. Because you know what it did? It limited a whole lot of their options. Case in point, one of the best quarterbacks ever, Roger Staubach. Number 12. I had my Dallas Cowboys little suitcase when I was a kid. Number 12 on it. Man, he was fun to watch. He was Captain America. He could construct game-winning drives. They called him Roger the Dodger because he could get out of any situation. I mean, he was a great quarterback. He won games. He took them to 4 Super Bowls. They've won 2 of them. But do you know who called the plays? Roger Staubach never called a play in all his years as a winning quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, because that's not the way it worked in the system under the authority of Tom Landry. And a reporter once asked Staubach about this. He said, "Mr. Staubach, you are a premier quarterback in this league. You know the game inside and out. So does it ever bother you that you don't get to call your own plays?" And I want you to hear his answer. He said, "Yeah, it did at first. Sometimes it's kind of hard to accept Coach Landry's authority, but I faced up to the issue of obedience. And once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory." Once I learned to obey, once I learned to submit to the system, once I learned to obey the authority of someone else. You know what Roger Staubach had to put aside to do that? He had to put aside his pride. He had to set his pride down. And if anybody had reason to be proud, Roger Staubach could certainly be among those when it came to the game he was playing. But he put it down because he knew that the best way to achieve harmony, the best way to achieve fulfillment, the best way to achieve victory was to obey the authority. Now, I love to talk about grace. Last week, I got to talk about grace. We got to talk about Jesus. Now, he makes us perfect. And so discipleship is not about perfection, but in this life, it's about progress. I love talking about that. But I have to talk about everything the Bible talks about. And the Bible talks about obedience. And the Bible expects obedience to King Jesus. Not perfection. We've already said that. But obedience. Doing what we're told to do, saying, believing what we're taught to say and believe, following it, doing it, obeying it, because Jesus is our authority and we're following him. And so I want to ask you a couple of questions today. And when we get finished with these questions, we're going to have a time of prayer, and we've got some folks who are going to make their way to the back of the room and be available to pray with you this morning. But I want you to think about how you think about Jesus. Do you think about Jesus as more of a monitor or a mentor? And when we talk about obedience, it's easy to start thinking about him as a monitor. And that's not the healthiest way to think about him. Do we think about him as somebody who's just waiting for you to mess up? Who's waiting to discipline you? Or do you think of him as a mentor, someone who has spoken truth and has demonstrated it and lived it in his life and now is teaching us and discipling us and how to lead that kind of life as well? Knowing we won't be perfect, celebrating our progress, helping us every step of the way, but expecting us to obey him. So how do you think about Jesus? That's one question I want to ask you. And the other question I want to ask you is, where in your life are you resisting the authority of Jesus? Where in your life? See, it's easy to think about the world and all the ways the world is resisting the authority of Jesus. But where are you resisting the authority of Jesus? What part of your life have you not been willing to lay down? What part of your life have you said, you know what, that works better outside his system? What part of your life have you said, I really want to keep my options in this one? What part of your life are you resisting the authority of Jesus? We're going to sing a song. I'll ask our folks to go ahead and make their way to the back. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus this morning. And it may be that you're ready to respond by saying, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to acknowledge His authority. And in baptism, I want to place myself under His authority. And I want to be His disciple. And I want to start making progress and learning to obey Him and do what He says in every area of my life. Maybe there's someone here this morning who's ready to do that. And I'm going to be over by the prayer room and would love to visit with you. Maybe there's people in the room this morning who are disciples. You are following Jesus. But the Holy Spirit will be convicting you this morning that there's just still some places that I've been unwilling to submit to His authority, that I've just chosen to disobey because I want to keep my options open. If the Holy Spirit nudges you in that direction this morning, I hope you'll make your way to the back and spend a few minutes in prayer with someone, because we're not meant to walk alone. We're meant to walk with someone. And these folks in the back will pray with you and walk with you as you commit this morning to obedience. Let's sing together.